Sam Panionovich, if you were going to take a trip this spring and you could travel about anywhere, you wanted to hang out in a city, you don't want to pack and unpack a lot, where do you go?
Well, it's funny you said, because I was just talking about wanting to go to Greece, and if I needed a city, I guess it would be Santorini.
Yeah. The thing with Santorini or Mykonos or Portofino is, I guess it depends on what you want to do, but they're not the biggest cities in the world, and they're touristy, and they're lovely, but do you want to do that for a week? I don't know. To me, those are good stops to spend a couple days in, and then those are good cruise stops to me, because the boat stops here, it goes there, it goes there, it goes there. You're not unpacking in a hotel each time. But maybe you want to just, you know, lollygag around for a week, read a book, drink some wine, stay in Santorini or Portofino. Those are good choices, Sam. You've not been there before, huh?
I have not been there. If you were a professor, it sounds like you gave my selection a C-.
No. Listen, hey, if I'm asking for selections, I'm going to ask Sam Panionovich, who joins us now on WGN. He's a betting analyst. And Sam, your line's cutting out. So if you're going to keep cutting out, I'm going to call you right back. But let's see if this works. He's with the New England Sports Network, Nesson.org. He's a longtime GNer who used to do sports with us and who, if I'm not mistaken, had Texas in his Final Four. Did you have Texas winning that game yesterday?
I thought they were good when they had a 13-point lead in the second half. You know, it's funny, John, because I thought back to a game in 2005. My dad took me to the Elite Eight, Illinois against Arizona. And Arizona's up 15 points in the second half. And that game was at the Rosemont Horizon. People are starting to leave, you know. Even Bill Murray thought about leaving. And then all of a sudden, Illinois races back, wins that game, goes to the Final Four, eventually loses to North Carolina. I was on the right side of that game as a fan. I was on the wrong side of Texas beating up 13 yesterday. I mean, look, if you would have told me Texas would have a 13-point lead in the Elite Eight, I would take my chances, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes. I'm impressed that you got it that long ago. Hold on a second, Sam. I'm going to ask Pete to reconnect with you just to make sure that we can hear everything you have to say. And also, this text is poured in. I said, go to Portofino. I love Greece. This text is poured in. Hey, John, Portofino's in Italy. Oops, it's 11. That's why I don't drive the tour bus. By the way, Sam Panionovich, I said earlier in the show, I was talking to Bob Surratt, I think it was. Maybe it was later on with Dave Ennett. But I said, I'll bet the point total, the seed total for the Final Four this year is the highest it's ever been. And I see the seed combination at this year's Final Four is the second highest in the event's history. You got UConn a 4, Miami a 5, San Diego State a 5, and Florida Atlantic the 9. That adds up to 23, only eclipsed by the 2011 Final Four that saw a 3, a 4, Butler the 8, and VCU the 11. But I guess it's good for business when, do you agree with this, Sam? You don't have one seeds in the Final Four?
I think it's great for the tournament. I think it's awful for television ratings. But as a casual fan, I mean, are you not excited to watch Florida Atlantic potentially play for a national championship? You know, we're so used to watching Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and I don't know that gets stale, but I think you and I don't know, in the middle 2010s, we're talking about how bored we were of the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the finals. You know, how many times can you watch the same thing over and over again? So, yeah, this is going to be a fascinating Final Four, and that year, you know, Butler was the 8, VCU was the 11. Very similar on the left side of the bracket, and this year with San Diego State and Florida Atlantic. But you know the crazy part about the Florida Atlantic team? Yes, they have a, you know, nation best 35 wins this season. They're 35-3. They should have lost in the first round. They were down 1 point against Memphis with 8 seconds to go. Memphis had the ball, threw it away. Florida Atlantic hits a layup, wins the game, and now they're in the Final Four. So you just need to capitalize on other teams' mistakes, and you have to survive in advance. And they've certainly done a great job of that. But that team has played 38 games this year and won 35.
When we make out our brackets at the beginning of the year, I remember feeling, and I do this, I look at win totals. To me, a team that has learned to win over the course of the season, that's something, even if it's in a lesser conference. This would bear that out, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. San Diego State has 31. Granted, you know, those two teams aren't from very strong conferences, but current check, Connecticut, loaded Big East, 29 wins. Miami, Florida, pretty good ACC, 29 wins. But, you know, we were sort of talking about it earlier with Texas. You know, this is why we love sports, is it not? Texas has a 13-point lead with a chance to go to the Final Four. Texas blows it. Miami goes. The Illinois-Arizona game in the 05 Elite Eight. How about the Red Sox down 3-0 in the ALCS against the Yankees in 04? The Patriots being down 28-3 in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. The fact that you can't script this stuff makes it that much more powerful. I mean, you know, we sit in the movie, hour through a movie, hour and a half in a movie. We know who the bad guy is. We know who did it. These sporting events, some of them, they are unpredictable. And to me, that's what makes them fascinating.
Well, that's you taking the high road, my friend. Did you have money on Texas? Did you wager that? Because you were sitting pretty good there, and it all blew up in the second half. Did that cost you money, or did you lose money?
Well, I can tell you because nobody's really listening to this, right? Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I had if Texas would have won the national championship, I would have made about $11,000. Now, look, I didn't bet $11,000.
No,
before the season, they were 20-1. So those little bets add up, and then, you know, I had a little bit more skin if they would have made the Final Four. But the good thing about it is, not to give you my portfolio here, but I was able to bet a little Miami yesterday and sort of get off it, you know, hedge it a little bit. But, yeah, man, if Texas wins that game, I basically am in a great position to either roll it forward or bet a little UConn. I could have done whatever I wanted. And, yeah, it's tough. I mean, these are the days that are the toughest because you do everything right and then the team doesn't do it.
Do they do in-game wagering like late in the second half, does a bet pop up on people's phones saying, do you think, you know, they're going to hit a free throw or the team's going to win or lose? Do those in-game bets pop up?
Not the free throw, but I can tell you with about 10 minutes left to go and Texas up by 12, Miami was 11-1 to win the game. So a $10 bet would have made you $110. But of course, somebody like me is not really thinking about something like that. You can sort of bet the pitfalls of every game, the ups and the downs, and those live numbers change. It's one of those situations where, you know, you think you're there and then you're not, and got to wake up the next morning and get right back to work.
I'm not sure I like that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't like that. I think that wagering is addictive enough, and it's fun, and most people, you know, bet responsibly. But these books that so want to keep you on their app and spending money, what did I expect they were going to do, right? Their business, they're trying to make as much money as they can. But I'm not sure I like that business model, Sam.
I understand your concerns, and I don't do as much live as most people do. I think it's a, how do I want to put this? It's a tough lesson to teach yourself to hide your phone, but, you know, after a couple of whiskeys, you don't want to be texting people either. So, I mean, it all comes down to discipline at the end of the day. And if you don't have the ability to not fire crazy bets all the time, then you probably shouldn't be gambling.
Hey, I'm going to give you a trivia question. See if you can answer this, and then I'm going to ask you about baseball, okay? And actually, this is a nice segue because we're going from college basketball to baseball. Tell me what player I'm describing. See if you can tell me the player I'm describing. In college, he had more assists than in baseball as a professional. He had in career strikeouts. He had 590 assists for his college basketball team, still the all-time career leader for that university. So an excellent point guard, or guard, I don't know that he played point, and also a very good Major League Baseball player. He had 3,141 hits in 9,280 at-bats, but only struck out 434 times. So excellent baseball player, and that's what you know him for, but also was a terrific college basketball player? Think about that.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Do you think? Okay. Okay.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn is correct. Yeah. Yeah. San Diego State, obviously on our mind. All-time assist leader there. Good basketball player. Obviously a better baseball player. Only struck out 434 times. Guys these days strike out that many times before the All-Star break. That's really saying something about how the game has changed and also how good he was. I was kind of asking the gang this morning, nobody wanted to put a number out. How many games are the Cubs or the White Sox going to win the first game? The Cubs open at home in 3 days. They're at Wrigley on Thursday. How many games are the Cubs going to win, Sam?
Well, the number in Las Vegas is 79.5, and that's pretty fair given how they've played the last couple of seasons. And look, I have my concerns about the back end of the rotation, but the good thing about this Cubs group is that they made some really shrewd moves in free agency. You know, that locker room is suddenly full of guys that know how to win. And I'm not talking about win games, winning postseason series and winning World Series rings. Dansby Swanson, Cody Bellinger, Eric Hosmer, they all have jewelry on their fingers. And that's a big deal when you get to work day one. These guys are going to hold each other accountable, and they're going to hold other guys accountable. Marcus Stroman is their ace. I think he's very, very solid. And then after him, it's Tyone. Bullpen should be okay, but I do think the leadership in that room sort of goes unnoticed by casual observers. I mean, are they going to win the World Series? No, but they should be better than last year. And I think a season where you win 81 to 85 games in that division is extremely possible on the north side. So I'm sort of a buyer this year, and as you know, I'm not a Cub fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Is this a different question? Are they in the playoffs?
They could be. They're 3-1 to make the playoffs. Now, you have to sort of be better than either St. Louis or Milwaukee, and those two teams are clearly better on paper. But, look, we've seen stranger things happen. I think they're going to add more this coming offseason and then likely contend for a postseason berth next season. But this is a step in the right direction on the north side.
I'm glad to hear it. And Lord knows the Bears have improved there a lot, and the Blackhawks are positioning themselves to do that. So, and not this year, maybe not even next year, but I'm kind of encouraged about the way the teams are building up. What do you think about the White Sox this year?
This team just, it killed me last year, you know, because all the potential in the world and all the talent, but you have to actualize that talent and that potential. And if that does happen, if guys can stay on the field, like Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, Tim Anderson, Andrew Vaughn, if those guys can all stay on the field and produce, along with a rotation that has Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito, Lance Lynn, if all of those guys can stay healthy, they should reach their win total with ease, which is 83.5, down from 91.5 last year. I also think, and I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I think having a lucid manager is a big deal too. But it's realistically, it's a year where they need to put up or shut up. I heard Tim Anderson a month ago saying, you know, the fans need to have our backs and the media needs to have our backs. Cut it. I'm done with that. This was supposed to be a World Series contender the last 2-3 years and nada. So they need to perform. Everything is there. All the talent is there. But these guys need to just play baseball, stay on the field. If that's the case, they can do something special. But if they get hurt and Luis Robert plays 90 games again and Yoan Moncada cares more about his jewelry than his batting stance, we're going to have a problem again.
Is Kopech, are you optimistic about him?
I think 20 starts is very fair. They've sort of limited him and sort of hindered any chance of him throwing too much. But at this point in time, John, I mean, this kid is, you know, he's not 22 years old anymore. You got to take the training wheels off him at some point. If I were going to tell you that Michael Kopech was 26 years old, would you believe that?
Wow, it's funny because I haven't seen him pitch that much.
Right? I mean, he's been here. He's been in the organization for 8+ years, and we haven't seen much. So I think if you're looking for expectations for Kopech, I think you look for him to start at the back of the rotation and take the baseball 20 times this year. And if he can do that, then that's an A in my book. But again, you know, this is not a prospect anymore. This is not a top 10 prospect in baseball. This is a guy who has not delivered for the major league club. And at 26, you have to start to figure that out.
By the way, in our pizza brackets, it's a home run in against Aurelio's in the Elite Eight in the local chain regional. Who do you like there? Home run in versus Aurelio's.
Aurelio should be a predominant favorite there. I'm upset that my Pequod's got knocked out.
Pequod's, no. Pequod's is up against Vic and Nick's. Is it Vic and Nick's?
Vito and Nick's. Southside.
Yeah. So Vito and Nick's are up against Pequod's. You like Pequod's advancing in that game?
Oh, man, that is a juggernaut battle because that's the that's the deep pan against the cracker cut crust, thin crust, Southside. That's impossible. I can't answer that one.
Sam Panionovic doesn't do pizza betting. He is a betting analyst, though, for the New England Sports Network, NESN.com, NESN.com. Used to work here and still helps me out once in a while, as well as John Landecker. Okay, Sam, thanks for your thoughts today. Good to hear you, my friend.
Good to hear you.